We're up to Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph. I guess this shiur is unique. We're the only ones who start every day the shiur with the words Kum Lerna Blat Gemara. And that comes from a rabbi called Pinchas Teitz. I don't know if you heard of him from Elizabeth, New Jersey. And he used to give a shiur on the radio every Motzei Shabbos when I was a kid growing up. And he would start every Motzei Shabbos Kum Lerna Blat Gemara. Even though we ended up learning about five lines, but still called it a black humor.
That's only a light innovation of yours. You used to say something else. You used to say, "Come down to Shvet."
He was a big personality, huh?
He was. He was a big rabbi. Okay. So we can learn from him. We are up to Amar Rav Yehuda, about 10 lines from the top of the page of him, Zayin Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Yehuda, Berei Rav Shmuel Bar Shil, Mashmei Derav. Ein HaMesubin Rashoyin Le'echa Klum. That the people who are sitting around the table cannot partake of the food at Tiyitim Habaytseya until the one who is distributing the bread tastes first. And Yosef Rab Safra Kama, and he says, Kama Lita Mitma, that they shouldn't eat, but they shouldn't even taste. Is there an argument here? Umar says, no, they're both saying the same thing. But what he's stressing is, Shechayiv Adam Leimel B'Shoyin Rabbi. When you quote your Rebbe, use his words verbatim. Don't translate the words or paraphrase his words. Tanya Rabbanan, we learn, Shnayim Mamtinim Zelo Zebe Kaira. If you have a plate in front of you, and you're both sharing the same plate, you should wait for each other. If that person pauses to go to the bathroom or to go wash or something, you should stop eating until he comes back. Why? A machlik is a shayim. Either because of the Derecheretz or because of Gneva. Derecheretz because he's not eating out of weight, or the Gneva is, then you'll be eating while he's gone. The whole idea of two people sharing a plate is you're going to get 50-50. But if I continue eating while he's gone, it'll be 60-40. But shloisha ein mamtini. Three don't wait, because why should two wait for one like we had with benching before? And if it's Gneva is only went by two people, then the pastures, the balabas intended each one should get 50. But it's three, it's impossible that each one, you know, ascertain to get a third. So therefore, you know, whatever. Then it says here, Habaytseya, the one who breaks the bread and makes the bracha, who poishet yodei tchila, he is the first one to take. V'im bo lachlik kavod the rabbi, but if he wants to honor his rebbe, oyle misha gadol heimen, or somebody greater than him, superior to him, harishuz be yodei, he can. Big machlik is a shiny, what's going on over there? Even though the chayla seems so straightforward. The pashtus, this is a continuation of the story about the kaira. And that, you know, even though you should allow, you know, who eats first, the one who makes the bracha should be the first one to eat the kaira, but if he has a rebbe, somebody greater, then he can be meichel. The whole thing here is, this is a din and etiquette. But the artist Shane will learn that this has nothing to do with kaira. We're going back to hamaitzi. The one who sits and cuts, and you'll see when you go to people's houses, the different minhagim. When you go to the guy who sits and cuts the challah, and he makes the bracha hamaitzi on Shabbos, does he have to eat the first challah first, or can he give a piece to his wife? Give a piece to some of the guests, or to all the guests, and then he takes for himself. Wouldn't be a hefsik, because you're doing it in Tzarek Achil. We had before, you'll even say two. We had before Rashi, if you're a week, you'll tell somebody there, okay, take of their piece of challah before you make your hamotzi. It's clear you're allowed to, you know, it's not a hefsik to give somebody else. But the shaila is, al pidin, if the one who made the bracha has to be the one to eat the challah first. There are three opinions. One opinion is that you have to eat first, and that you'll see many people do that. Another opinion is you're allowed to distribute the challah to everybody because it says it can be moichel the covered, but still you have to eat first. They have to wait. And the third opinion is that no, they can eat straight away because you're moichel the covered. They can eat straight away, and therefore you'll see some people have a mini. They cut and they give everybody else first, or they get their wife or whatever, and then they eat themselves. And the fourth opinion is, I gotta tell you, the fourth opinion, that the only ones you're allowed to give it to is someone who's godel. Like the Gemara's expression here is your rabbi and misha godel heimena. Unless you're a very humble person, you believe that every guest that you have and everybody around the table is greater than you are. No, sorry, what were you saying?
But you can't say, take some color.
You shouldn't talk.
Once you've washed.
You learn before you can, but you shouldn't. Then the Gemara continues. Sorry? There's no we. Everyone has it. Whatever you saw, you ever saw, you know, in other places, that's what you follow. Like my house, I'm the last. But most Lubavitcher houses, the guy, the Balabas eats first and then distributes. You have whatever you're. Rabbi Bar Barchana have osil lebrei. Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Kanina. Rabbi Barchana was involved with the wedding of his son. We had a number of weddings in this masechta. Involved in the wedding of his son in the house of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Kanina. That's where the wedding was taking place. Kodim, and the father has to talk to his son. You know, give him some advice. Instead of besides marital advice, he's also giving table etiquette. You know, you're going to sit between people. I want you to know how to do this. Especially you're going to be leading by the chasna. You know, there's a big challah by the chasan. You're going to make a mitzvah. Let me tell you some etiquette. Or halachas. Kodim v'yosev v'kemas lebrei. He sat down first before the wedding, and he started teaching his son. Ein habaytze. First of all, ein habaytze harashoy livtzoya. You do not break the bread atche yichla omein mipiha einim. Do not break the bread until the omein is concluded from those who answer. Once the answer finish omein, you break the bread. We had this story before. Lavlam tesu v'beis that you're not supposed to say the amaytze till you. You're not supposed to break the bread until you finish the bracha. And the chiddush here is that omein is part of the bracha. The people answering is part of the bracha. And the Ezeruah takes a step further. If I, let's say, finish Manasseh, and the Chazan said a bracha, whatever it is, and everybody's answering Amen. If I finish Manasseh, or whatever I'm doing, in time, I hear the people saying Amen, it's too late already, forget the bracha. I can answer Amen on their Amen, because their Amen became part of the bracha. So I'm answering Amen to a bracha. That's how far we take it. Rav Chizda says, you don't have to wait till Amen from all the people. It's enough for the majority of people. What's the why don't you wait till everybody finishes the bracha? Because it says we do wait till everybody finishes the bracha. So why here? If somebody stretches out too long, it's not worth anything. So what do you have to wait for? The whole idea of it is that Amen is part of the bracha. When is Amen part of the bracha? You say correctly. But if you just stretch it out too long, it's not a valid Amen, therefore it's not part of the bracha. Now, we learned before that that you're not allowed to eat until the Nevorech eats. So Tesis and all the Rishayim ask a question, and Mar Ari Pesachim tells a story where they were mechabed and amoida to go ahead and make kiddush by day, and they used the expression kiddusha rabbah. And you never heard that expression before about kiddush by day, and he had no idea what kiddusha rabbah means. He didn't know what to do, so he was smart. He decided he'll start making the bracha, and then he'll take a very big pause, and we'll see what everybody does. If everybody waits for him to say something, then maybe he should say the Friday night one. If everybody is ready to start eating or drinking, then he knows he finished. So he did that, he made a bracha, and then he took a pause, and then one old man bent down to drink. So then he realized that's the whole kiddush. Now the question is, how can an old man bend down to drink when it says over here that nobody's allowed to taste until he's tasting, unless he gives it to them, you know, and he's meichel, but nobody's allowed to taste, and he didn't give it to them yet. So there's a number of answers which are not from halacha. One answer the Rosh says is, who said he drank? He just bent down. Because he realized what the Rebbe was doing, what was doing, and therefore he just bent down to teach the guy what to do. He wasn't really drinking. The other answer is, each one had their own cup. And when you have your own little chal in front of you, or your own cup in front of you, then you don't have to wait. Even though you heard his bracha, then you can eat from yourself. It's when you need to get from his chal. But then the Rosh Hashanah say on Shabbos, when you need lechem mishnah, if you have your own chal, but it's not lechem mishnah, you should get from his. Even though you don't only need lechem mishnah, you eat the lechem mishnah of his, but you should try to get a challah from that lechem mishnah. That's how I deal with that. We just said there's four ways of learning. Yeah. Okay, so there's the Minyan Olam is when it comes to, let's say, Boyer Prayer Goffin. There's a sefer called Yagid Moshe, the Hagdomah, to the sefer, he asks, why is it that the Minyan Olam is when it comes to Boyer Prayer Goffin, you don't make your own bracha, you just drink from the wine, they pass it around? And why by Moshe, everyone seems to be making their own bracha? What's the difference? So the simple answer is that Boyer Prayer Goffin by Kiddush became Birchas HaMitzvahs. And Amaitzi is Birchas Hanenu. And therefore you make your own bracha. Even though we learned before that if you're all sitting together at the same table, one person can make a bracha for everybody. And in fact, there's a mile in the Kerev Am. So really, it depends on the minig of the place. Some people don't make a bracha, some people do. It depends on how you were brought up. Talk about what we learned. Talking about amens, what's an invalid amen? We'll tell you what's some invalid amens. You shouldn't answer a hurried amen. Rashi learns hurried amen means literally you don't stress the ah, you make it sound like a shiva amen. That's what Rashi learns. Others say you just push it. You don't wait till the chazan. Others learn that you don't wait for the baal tefillah to finish the bracha. You're already answering amen too early. You have to wait till he finishes, you know, whatever, Yisrael, and then you say Amen. But the Amen Ketuf, and not a chopped off Amen. Rashi says you chopped off the letter Nun, or any letter. But the Amen, you say, man, an orphan Amen. What's an orphan Amen? So Rashi learns, some Rishayim learn, you wait a while before you say Amen. The Chazan finished, and 5 seconds later you wake up. That's an Amen Yisrael. It's like a fatherless or a motherless Amen. But Rashi learns that Amen Yisrael means that you didn't know which bracha it is. You just heard me saying Amen, so you joined in. And then Rashi asks a question, and all the Rishayim, it's not usual for Rashi to ask a question, it's more Tesis, but Tesis and all the Rishayim follow Rashi. In the Gemara, it says in Sukkah that the Shul of Alexandria was so big that nobody can hear, so they had a guy standing waving flags. No, but how can you answer Amen if you don't know what bracha it is? So depending on the answers, it comes out big enough means halacha. Rashi answers, they knew they were saying Shemoneh Esrei, they knew exactly what bracha they held cheshbon, even though they couldn't hear words, so then you let answer Amen. Amen Yisrael means you have no idea what they're answering Amen for. That's what Amen Yisrael means. The other answer the Shemoneh give is, it depends if you want to be Yaitse with this Amen or stop answering Amen. Let's say the bracha on Shofar, you want to answer Amen, you have to hear it. If you don't hear it, you can't be Yaitse. But if you're not being Yaitse, who cares? Then that's the Gemara of Alexandria. They're talking about Chazal Zashat. You weren't being Yaitse, so you can answer Amen. Here you want to be Yaitse. And then Tesh talks there about Bechaz HaTeda, and that's the whole story, whether when Teda is read, HaMachleks HaChreinu, Teda is read in the shul, is that a chiv on every person to hear Kriyas HaTeda? So we're being Yaitse by these people here? Or is there a chiv on a shul that a Teda should be read? But not I personally have to hear the Teda every single day and be Yaitse. Based on that Tesh in the last painting of Sukkah. Is this machlekes? But anyway, continue. Well, a yizrik bracha mepiv. Either don't say it too quickly so that the people cannot hear the last few words. Don't throw the bracha out of your mouth. Says Gemara Vayter. Or that it's, if you say really quickly the bracha part, it sounds like you want to get over and done with it. Mepiv Ben Azay comes out extremely tough. If you don't follow these rules, if you say an omen yisayim, you're born of yisayim. You hear that? That your children Nebuch should be Yisayim. Chatufa, if you hurry, thrust through it, or you don't pronounce the letter correctly, Yizchat for Yomav. Should be cut off, you know, should be your day should be gone quickly. In other words, die prematurely, Rahman Islam. Ketufa, you chop up the Amen, Yizchat for Yomav. Your day should be cut off. I'm not sure the difference between Chatufa and Ketufa when it comes to Yomav. It's really more or less the same thing. But don't think I'm only telling you negative things. If you're ma'irich and amin, ma'irich and lo yomav v'shneisav, you'll have a long life, days and years.
That was only wishful thinking.
That's not what happened. I have no idea. Let's not test it. Rav Shmuel, the Yasser does. Rav Shmuel sing by meal. Also, Rav Shmuel v'chia have a kemesad of ochel. Rav Shmuel was hurrying through to eat. Amle Rav, my daiter. Notice he came down quickly to eat to join them for a mezumen. What are you thinking, Sarufi? Badan, you want to join us in Muzumman? And we already finished eating. Finished, over. You can't join a Muzumman if you already finished eating. Omele Shmuel said to Rav, Ilu Maisili Ardilia. They will bring for me Ardilia. I'll tell you what that is. And because Lailab unto you, no, they bring in a beautiful dessert. Ardilia for me is mushrooms. If they bring for me mushrooms, I love mushrooms. The Aruch says it means meat. They bring for me meat. You like chicken. I like meat. This is dessert. They bring me meat. Or some of the Rishonim have been here, and other Rishonim say Shmuel was a doctor. So he always used to eat herbs at the end of the meal because he knew which herbs are really good for you to give you energy. And that's what Ardilia is, some kind of herb. As a doctor, he used to eat herbs. So he was a naturalist way before anybody even thought of that. They go, Lailaba, and they bring you a few pigeons over there. Mila Echilin, even though we finished the meal, wouldn't we eat? So therefore, it's still considered technically as if we're in the middle of the meal. So he can join us. And the halacha is that once you say, my machrenin, then it's too late, you can't join. But if not, even if we don't eat, if somebody joins us, we finished eating already, but we're still talking shmooze, and the guy comes to join us, we can make him a zoom. Because it's potentially we can eat. The students of Rav was sitting by a meal. All Rav Acha Amri said, "Also, Gav Rav Levorich Lo." And they said, "Oh, a great man just came." And because you want to lead the benching, should be a great man. So Rav Acha came to bench. Amalu Misavita the God Levorich Ikes Levorich. You think that the most chashuv person should bench, the Ikes person the bench. That in other words, those who were there the entire meal, they should lead the benching. Not me. I just came at the end. So he didn't argue with them that he's not the Gadol. He agreed I'm the Gadol, but still, you know, he was trying to avoid it. But they said, no, that's Allah, the Gadol. You should always honor the Gadol. That's what the Rif over here brings a Gemara where It says in the Gemara that a Talmud Chacham, unbelievable Gemara, that a Kohen Gadol Lama Oritz, and there's a Talmud Chacham sitting by the table. If the Kohen Gadol Lama Oritz gets invited to do the benching, the Talmud Chacham is Chayiv Misa. Those are the words of the Gemara. Talmud Chacham is Chayiv Misa. In other words, he should have said, hey, one second, I'm a Talmud Chacham, give me. Or maybe it's talking about a case where they offered him as another Kohen Gadol, let him go first. Anyway, so there is a hierarchy system in place. Ochel demai, the Mishnah said, if he ate demai, then you could be counted. Mizum luchayid, holy mizum, they can all join together. Holy chazalei demai, you shouldn't eat. You have to give ma'isa first. Answer the Gemara, but demai there are exceptions where the Rabbi said that you could eat. Kivin iboy mafkul luchas. If you want, you can make all your chasm hefka. You're a poor man. You're impoverished. Bahavi yonim. Then the din is an impoverished person like demai. Chazal is road. If not, machil zanim demai is like sanya demai. You're allowed to feed poor people demai and also the soldiers demai. Machil is showing them, but the Yiddish soldiers, even Goyish soldiers, the levy that the king says if the soldiers are staying in your town, you need to feed them. That's a duty. On the towns, owners of the towns to feed them. B'Shammai says, "Ein machilin esaniim v'saksan yedmai." And B'Shammai says that you don't feed poor people and you don't feed the soldiers demai. And the taste is another thing. I want to know why in the world we're bringing down Shammai's opinion. What's the relevance? And the idea is, says Tosfos, if you ever hear an opinion that says you don't feed them, you should know it came from Shammai. Okay, Ma'aser Ishi is not going to Moshe. Ma'aser Ishi took it through. Yeah, so if you took it from it right now, we're taking it literally, you did everything right. No, of course you can join in. You took this is talking about the Levi jumped in while I was still growing in stocks. And he took it Maisa. And he has to only give Truma's Maisa. He doesn't have to give Truma, even though we don't want him to do this. But if he did it, he's part of a Truma. And the Chiddush is that he can join in benching. The Hefrish Mimena Truma's Maisa, Veloy Hefrish Mimena Truma Gdola. He did not give Truma Gdola. But because he took it from the stocks, the Chiv of Truma never occurred. And therefore, this is a way of avoiding paying tax. Tax avoidance versus tax evasion. If you jumped in ahead while stalks and potter. So why only while it's growing in a stalk? And even while it's there piled up in the field, you're telling me, but if it's piled up in the field, I already have to give Truma. Even the Levi jumped in, took his mice, he has to give Truma from mid beside Truma's mice. What's the difference? Another passage it says, from all your mice, you give truma. So sometimes a mice you give truma, and sometimes you don't give truma. Well, Mari Isa, so why do you decide while it's growing you don't have to give truma, and once it's piled up, give truma? Maybe while it's growing, you should penalize him and make him give the truma. So the answer, hi, eat give my legume, because this is really considered grain, therefore there's a chiv or truma once it's piled up, but it's not, there's no chiv or truma. If you redeemed it, no, again, if you redeemed, what's the deal? You redeemed it, you exchanged it, and took money to the Shalayim. So, of course, if you ate this single mice shein, it's all right. It's been redeemed. You're supposed to give the value, and then you're supposed to add, if you're the Baal Boss, you're supposed to add a 25%. You gave the value, but didn't give the 25% yet. The Chiddush is that once you gave the value, you're allowed to eat this food, even though you have an obligation to pay that 25%. Take that money and bring it with you to the Shalayim. It doesn't hold it back. It doesn't prevent you from eating it. If the Sham, the butler, the waiter, ate the kazayis, so why not? Then of course you can include him. I would have thought that the Sham is just constantly walking around. That's not called a kavius. He's part of the meal. That's his way, and therefore it is considered part of the meal. Akusi, mezanlam, akusi, you can include him in the mezumin. Let's treat him like an amoretz. V'tanya, we learned ain mezamin al amoretz. You're not allowed to include an amoretz in your zimun. And what's the definition of amoretz? Abayu, Abayu says, we'll see in a minute what amoretz is. Abayu says, b'kusi chaver. We're talking about a kusi here who was a chaver, was a talmid chacham. Either he's a colleague, or he is an expert in a particular field. Different opinions how to touch chaver. Rav Amar, I feel the same. Even a kusi amoretz. V'hocha ba'amoretz that rabbanon the plirameh. There's different understanding what amoretz is. He's amoretz like the rabbanon, not the amoretz like a mer. What's pshat? And therefore, this kind of amoretz you can include. The time you learn Ezehu, what's the definition of an amoretz? So the mer says kol she'enu oichel chulu betara. You know what amoretz is? If you in the Torah, it's a modern thing. In the Torah, amoretz is a complimentary term. As Rashi says, am shebeginu nivras haaretz. This is a nation that because of them the world was created. So the amoretz is a compliment. Sometime during, between the Torah was written and Mishnayis, the word amoretz became a euphemism for the opposite, and then it became actually an adjective for the opposite. which is amazing. You have a few words like Balchayv. Balchayv used to be a lender, now Balchayv is a borrower. You have words sometime during the course of history completely change the meaning. It's interesting to see how that happened.
What's another example?
I just said Balchayv. Amar. I remember there should be a whole bunch of examples I can't think of right now. But Amar is a prime example. So Meir says, not so bad. If you don't need chulun betar, you reign Amoritz. Chachamim, he had a very high standard. He really raised the bar. Chachamim say, kol she'enu ma'aseh peiros gerov, if you don't give gerov, is considered Amoritz. V'hani kusoyi, and these kusoyim, isuri ma'asri, kedachos, they actually did give ma'aseh the way they saw fit. Because we know, anything's written in the Torah, they were very particular. So they did it properly. Any mitzvah that they took upon themselves, they didn't know all the mitzvahs, but the ones that they did, harbe medakti by Yisrael, the more careful they did. We're talking about them, we have matzahs kusim, we'll have them psachim, they can trust them, and because they did it properly. Okay, so now, we say you don't make a mezumin in Amoritz, and remember, the Chachamim say in Amoritz that someone doesn't give mitzvah properly, but kusim did. This law about not having a mezumin in Amoritz, so it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rishonim, that today is different. Actually, Chachamim brings only one reason, but the Rishonim give two. One reason is Gemara says that somewhere else, Rabbi Yehi says that if we can malign Amaratzim, they marginalize them. If we're going to marginalize Amaratzim, they are going to start a community of their own, and we don't want them to be separate. We want us to be inclusive. The other reason is who says we're Talmud Chacham? We today are not the type of Talmud Chacham they talked about in those days. What Talmud Chacham really is, we're not really Talmud Chachamim. That's the Rishonim answer. But then it says if somebody doesn't have Aveda, a Peshe, especially a deliberately Aveda, or somebody is Mechal Shabbos, you know, I'll count them in a Mzumin. And then you have all these things that today we look at it differently. Or Chane and all that, yeah.
The Kutim were suffered years, right?
No, Kutim were the king of Assyria, yeah, sent the nation, and then they were threatened by lions.
But so they suffered.
Yes? That's suffered. They were threatened by lions.
Right.
So they converted, so the Jews should help them. Some people say Gedi Arroy is saying they're only getting from lions, they didn't mean it. And some say Gedi Emma saying they were truthful.
So do we hold that they didn't or not?
Today they're all good. Because we found, we tracked them in
Abba Israel. So why do we even have this issue?
Because they lived amongst the Eden all the time. They lived in Israel amongst the Eden. So you have to know how to deal with them. Now this is talking about a period when they were still accepted before, when everyone decided. How about we learn? Ezam Oretz. What's the difference about Oretz? The Gemara continues. We had to say them more with the call. She'ainu kai kishma avishach. If you don't read kishma avishach, that's called amoritz. Divin abliyazer. Rabbi Shua says, and so amoritz is l'cheir if somebody doesn't do mitzvahs. Forget about it. Doesn't read kishma. Basic part of davening. Shua im kol she'ainu menich tefillin. You don't put on tefillin. So their idea of amoritz is very different than what we think in ignoramus. These are people who are not doing mitzvahs, essential mitzvahs. But as I am kosher in letzitzis bebigdo. If he has a four cornered garment, then letzitzis he's an amoritz. No, sorry, because mezuzah pischay. You have mezuzah on your door. Baruch Hashem, most Jews around the world have mezuzah on the door, so we have very few amoratzim today. Does anybody not put on tefillin? Well, the Lubavitchers are working very hard to make sure that they do. Rab Nosson by Yisrael, I'm a kosher yesh lebonim ve'ena megadlim the Talmud Torah. But if somebody has children, so you're not doing a shemit teira mitzvahs, but it doesn't work very hard to make sure his kids grow up Talmud Teira. The famous Baal Turim in last week's parsha, which is a peladik of Baal Turim, that Yisrael made a deal with Moshe Rabbeinu: you want to marry my oldest daughter Tzipira, I'll let you, on one condition, that your first son has to be an oivel avodah zarah. I want you to consecrate your son for avodah zarah, and Moshe Rabbeinu agreed, and therefore he was punished. That Gershon's grandson Yenison, or his son Yenison, worked in Tanakh. They worked in a Bate Avodah Zarah. Okay, I'll let you work. I don't have time to explain to you that Baal Turim, but that's what he says. Pella, look in Baal Turim, the beginning of Yisrael. It's right there. Achelim, my mother say, I feel look kor of Vishana. Even you learn Chumash, you learn Mishnaish. But Velashimish Tamid Chamim, which over here Rashi learns, doesn't mean he didn't serve Rabban. It means he didn't learn Gemara. He didn't understand the Dinim. That's the definition of Amoritz. When we say don't include them, we're talking about even a guy can learn, but if he doesn't learn Gemara, doesn't understand what he's saying, then it's no good. Look at his Pel de Gemara. Rambam would not include in his Zimun Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa, who's quoted quite often in the Gemara. The Tani Sifra of Sifri, he learned all his Mishnais and he learned all the halachas, but he didn't learn Gemara properly. When Rav Chama passed away, Omar Rava said, you know why Rav Chama passed away prematurely? Because he refused to include Rav Menashe in his mezumim. He used to embarrass him every time. There were three people who wouldn't make a mezumim if Menashe was one of them. But Tanya, but didn't we learn Lachedim? I feel Kadosh. What did you do wrong? We learned Kadosh Veshana Veloshimer Tamichav Zamoritz. So he was a shiny Rabbanash and Chlifa. The Mashmul Hu Rabbanim. He was Mishamish the Rabbanim. He was Mishamish the Rabbanim, and therefore he didn't know. Just he, Rabbi Muhammad didn't notice. Rami Bachama who ledok abase Rami Bachama just didn't know. That's why so Rami was wrong. Or lish nachrin the shamash maitem abay rabbanon. He heard these halachas. Taki didn't learn the whole shakot taya, but he learned the halachas of the rabbanon. And the pumaya ban the god is lo hukri rabbanon. And because he learned directly from the rabbanon who did work very very hard, and he heard it and he memorized it properly. Therefore, he got the benefits of their learning, and therefore it's good enough. There's no good tevel pshit. Of course, no. It's asr. Like sicha betevel the rabbanon. The rabbanon. Where do you have the rabbanon? Hechadami b'atzer shein nakuf. If you have a potted plant that has no punctures, only the rabbanon. You consider nurture from the ground. The only rabbanon is a tevel. And the chiddush is he cannot be even isad rabbanon. You cannot count him nuzumin. Ma'asadishin. If he didn't do anything, pshit. It's also of course he cannot join. Like sicha going shigiva b'kadi. He jumped in ahead while it was piled in and he took it and he thought he had to give truma. Ma'odem gal rapapa labai. Rapapa's question labai. What's wrong? Why should you have to give truma? Kamash long as you know labai answer. Which is the pasuk? Ma'isa sheni, you didn't redeem. Pshita, if you didn't redeem, it's also letzicha shenivdu v'lenivdu. You redeemed, but you didn't. Kill chas, you didn't do properly. What do you mean? Ma'isa sheni, you're going shepodel gabesim, and you redeemed it on a coin that didn't have a figure on it, on this like a little piece of metal, a simon. And it wasn't, didn't have a tzura on it. Rahman Allah, it's hard to cast it with it. It has to be cast it on tzura, only money that's recognized by the government. Then it says there, Hegdish, when Hegdish, you didn't do the right thing. What happened there? Talking about you did redeem. What's an example of Hegdish you redeemed but not correctly? Shechila gabe karka. You redeemed the Hegdish by giving karka. We know that has to be something portable. But lepodu be cast it, not with money. Rahman Allah, have an osna cast it with kumla. You redeem it properly, you can't give the value. And property has to be valued in something portable. Of course, how can you count them in? You're right, but I did a ton of reisha gezayis. You always tell the converse, and if a ton of sefer, the contrast pachad megezayis. But anochri goy cannot be mezamim pshit. Of course, he cannot include a goy. Hachmaskin goy begeir shemal v'lo tovel. Geir malad b'din tovel. You're not a geir until you go through the full process. Uvikamad lo tovel nochri. Cold mind b'din tovel. Even though you did everything else, you still treat like a goy. Noshim va'avodim v'ktanim ein mezamim alein women. You cannot be mezamim. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi. Now this gemara here. I don't have the time to prep this. Beautiful gemara here. Rabbi Yosi says, "Cotton hamutl ba'arisa." If you have a child in a vigula, you have a child in a cot, in a crib. Mezamim olav. You can include him in a mezumen. That's what Rabbi Yosi says. Says the gemara. But now we learn that noshim va'avodim v'ktanim ein mezamim alein. Says the feish you're not mezamim. Says the gemara. Who do Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi? He follows Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi. Afa pisha omru a cotton hamutl ba'arisa ein mezamim olav. Taka, you cannot include him in mezumen. Avol oisin oisa snifla asari. You can count him for 10. Keep that in mind when we learn this gemara. A chumash. We'll see in a minute. We'll see in a minute. So it says it clearly that a Meshubah Levi makes a difference between a Mezumin you cannot count, and a Minyan. And the logic is, the Rosh says, because by a Minyan, sold the Ebus to the Shechina Shoida. And when the Shechina Shoida is the Neshama, so the people that join together. My Nafkamin, if you're a month old, you slept in the Neshama, just like a 25-year-old. So therefore, you're included.
In that case, you can have 9 boys with a Chumash and 1 adult.
No, you need 9 adults. We're talking about 1. What you just said, by the way, the Baal Moir said. One second, we'll see. Rabbi Shuvalevi says, Tisha ve'evid mistarfin, so too 9 and an evid. 9 and evid can mistarif, and just like a cotton, and just like noshim. So the Gemara Meisah has a question. Meisah but Rabbi Eliezer shenichnas the Beis Knesset. There's a story that Rabbi Eliezer went into shul, but Motza saw they couldn't find 10 people. Shichre Avda he freed his Eved. So now Eved Kanani is like a woman, doesn't have a full din of a Jew. But once he's free, he's set free. He's full of Jews. He have a minion. The Shlima La'asara seems clearly Shichre in La Shichre. He had to free him first. So that means 9 wasn't good enough with an Eved. Today, Yitzchak, there were only 8 there. They needed 2. So he couldn't free 2. So first, they say you can only count an Eved as 1. So they counted an Eved as 1, so that's 9, and then he freed the other one. You can't have 2 Avodim. How can you do that? Everybody say, if you set free your Eved, you're even Avedish. And then it says, you're not allowed to set free a Goyish, a slave. He needs a minion. What mitzvah exactly is it? So some say Pasha Zachar, or Tesa before said Pasha's Potter, which is Ma'at Teda. Others say that's only with the Rabbanan. But nevertheless, A minyan is a rabbanon, but once you have a minyan, you're actually doing a mitzvah of the Torah of Ikdashi B'Torah B'nai Yisrael. So actually, every minyan is Maha Torah. So that's what others say. Others say, no, it's a rabbanon. And the rabbanon also, you can push away Lamet Avodah. For the mitzvah of Avodah, it's the reason the mitzvah of Avodah. Mitzvah Rabim Shaini. Since the mitzvah of Rabim pushes away that, is different. The Gemara and Gittin has the same discussion, but they don't ask mitzvah of Avodah and mitzvah Rabim Shaini. They don't have that little part. Big discussion everywhere, and the famous Nadi Behuda with the son-in-law talks about it. We don't have time, unfortunately, but this is a very big discussion. Anyone write there? The person should be come first to shul. Should be part of the first minyan. 100 people come afterwards. You get the char of all of them. You should get the char of all of them. Of course, they get the char for coming, but you get their char as well. The char kinekulim. It means that if you're the first person, you get the schar of everybody afterwards. The second person gets the schar of everybody afterwards, but you don't get the schar of the first person before you. And you know, each one gets a little less schar. Or all 9 people get exact same amount of schar. All 10 people get exact same amount of schar because they're the minion. Amar Avuna, Avuna says, Tisha v'orim mitzvah. Avuna says, you have 9 people and Oren Kedush, you're mitzvah. Amar Nach v'orim gavru, what do you have? How can Oren Kedush be counted as a person? Amuna Tisha Nidika Sora Mistarfin, 9 people that but they look like a crowd of 10 is good enough. Amra Le Kimchanfe Vamla Kimavadi. Some say Dafka when they're all together looks more like a larger crowd. Some say forget they're scattered look like a larger crowd. Aurababa Baba says Shnayim Vishabas, you have 2 people on Shabbos, Mistarfin Samuzuman. You can count Shabbos. Amra Nachman Vishabas Gabriel, same idea that you have 2 people and then you have something holy. Elam Rebbe Ami Shnei Tamid Chachamim Achadin says this is an amazing Rashi. How Rashi learns 2 Tamid Chachamim if they sharpen each other in learning the halachim mitzdarfin they combine the 3. So 2 people are 2, but when 2 people learn together, they come up with new ideas. There's like a 3rd person there because I myself couldn't come up with these ideas. You couldn't come up with these ideas, but together we came up with these new ideas. It's like a 3rd person sitting over here.
What about counting the Abishas?
No, he doesn't count. Mechvei Rab Chizdek Yigun Rab Sheish. Look at me, Rab Sheish. And Mech v'Rab Sheish again, over Rab Chizda. Omer Yechelecha says, cotton pereach, mezamnin, all over cotton, that's pereach, you can count the mezumin. So, the Mi'kmaq Chik, the Shema cotton pereach is, but actually learns a cotton who is, who brought signs of maturity, but he's just not 13 years old yet, might be 12, some say 9, 8. Tanya Mechi, cotton shei v'shtei sider, if he brought 2 siders, mezamnin, olav. But a shaloi hei v'shtei sider, if he didn't bring 2 siders, ain't mezamnin, olav. So the main criteria is whether he reached puberty, even though he's underage. The aim of doctor gave a cotton. And we don't really care about cotton. We don't care. You just said you need to have, you need to be puberty. But your mother, her goofy kasha, amid, you said, if she said, in level, she said, loy. And the mother told him, adakti me cotton, lasui mai, lav lasui cotton perech, doesn't that come to include a cotton perech? A cotton that also has, that reaches puberty, even though he's on a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, what are you trying, so that was, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say is, so we're explaining, so must be that he comes a cotton perech, even though he's underage. We don't. Once you reach puberty, we don't care how old you are. That's mean. Medakti means we don't care how old you are or not. As long as you reach puberty, the Gemara concludes. V'les hilchasik yichol hanishmaite. All of this is wrong. El kihod amr Nachman cotton hayodeya lemim avorchim mezamin olav. A child who knows who you make a bracha to, you make a mezumin on him. You can include a mezumin. Abai v'rova when there were tiny tots. How the yasri kamei the rabba sat before rabba. Amul rabba lemim avorchim. Who you make a bracha to? Amri leil rachmona to the Eibishter. No, so the rabbi asked them, Rachmona, hey, where's the Eibishter? Rova ach vilish metal. Rova showed the ceiling in his house. And Abai and Ophel Bra, Abai went outside, ach veklapish maya, and showed the heaven. Amru rabbi tavaychu rabbon and havisu. Both become rabbis. Haidam people say, butzim butzim, small pumpkins, mikatfa yediya, right? As soon as they start coming out of the sap, you already know what kind of pumpkin you're going to have. You know, this kid. Some of the shayna say it was only Abai who was really smart because he went outside. Not Rova, what's the big deal? Others say both of them. And there's a lot to talk about, but very big kitzur. So big machlek is a shayim here is when it says less hichas gachol hani, does it go all the way back to Shurma Levi as well or not? Shurma Levi made a distinction between a minyan and a mezumin. So Taisus and many others hold that it's only talking about the last part of mezumin. Now Shurma Levi still remains. When it comes to a minyan, you can still have a cotton. And now he's a machlekis. Some the Baal HaMoreh says you can have up to 4 ketanim in joining a minyan. You can have 4 ketanim, no matter how small, even down to harisa, a vigula, a cut. Or others say that you have to know, 9 years old, you can count them in the minyan. And by the same token, l'chayde avodim, you can count noshim. If you're 9 people or 6 people, you can count noshim. The only reason why we don't is because it's not sneeze. But then the main time says that those people say you put a chumash in his hand. And he says it's a dovah shtus. But many times we use the word, it's a dover shtus. Because where do you find it? He brings a sugya there about, if you want to be ma'ivah the shana, they brought a sefer Torah in, but it was a sefer Torah, not the person holding it, it was sitting on a chair. And it was a real sefer Torah, not a chumash. What's the value of a chumash? And others say that, anyway, big machlek is here, and the Shulchan Paskin, the Kitzur Shulchan says that you should not use a boy with a chumash at all, only b'shas hadchak. So you have the little shtetlach where you don't have a minion, they would call a kid in chumash. Some say it has to be 12 years old, some say 9 and over, but as long as he knows what davening is all about. Interesting. Okay, see you tomorrow, Mr. Shem.